In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. So if you can't hear me, I want you to raise your hand. I'm using my teacher voice, my playground voice, with a microphone. January 22nd was an important date in my life and in the life of your rector. 21 years ago, Rachel was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Los Angeles. And 43 years ago, I was ordained a priest in the Diocese of Los Angeles. And this was my first assignment after having grown up here. It was fabulous. I'd like to start with a prayer. And this is taken from the Iona community in Scotland. Blessed be God who gathers us in love, and blessed be God's mercy now and forever, and we say, amen. Gather us in, the lost and the lonely, the broken and breaking, the tired and the aching who long for the nourishment found at your feast. Gather us in, the sure and the doubting, the wishing and wondering, the puzzled and pondering, who long for the company found at your feast. Gather us in. The proud and pretentious, the sure and superior, the never inferior, who long for the leveling found at your feast. Gather us in. The bright and the bustling, the stirs and the shakers and the influencers, the kind laughter makers who long for the deeper joys found at your feast. Gather us in. From corner or limelight, from mansion or campsite, from fears and obsessions, from tears and depression, from untold excesses, from treasured successes, to meet, to eat, to be given a seat, to be joined to the vine, to be offered new wine, to become like the least, be found at the feast. Gather us in. We meet in the name of God, creator of the universe, source of true humanity, mother and father of all. Amen. Season of Epiphany, season of light. I once read, as I was working with more people who were dying, in a hospice booklet, that it was always important to have a window with light coming through it in the room where the person was dying. Because, as it said in the little booklet, the dying always turn toward the light. We are heliotropic. We are Christotropic. We turn to the light. The people of Israel had two temples. The second one was destroyed in 70 AD. This is after Jesus' crucifixion and death and resurrection. And Jesus wept over that city. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I called to you and you did not hear. Here was a diagnosis of what caused the death of the temple and Jerusalem. It was called Senat Shinam in Hebrew. It's a term meaning baseless hatred or gratuitous hatred, famously cited in a Jewish tradition as the cause of the destruction of the Second Temple, a graver sin than the idolatry or bloodshed that destroyed the First Temple, emphasizing internal strife and failing to see the divine spark in fellow Jews. It's hatred without valid reason, often stemming from petty disputes, political differences, or disrespect for others' ways of serving God, and its antidote involves acts of love. Its antidote involves acts of love, compassion, and recognizing the inherent worth of every single individual. Matthew deliberately quotes Isaiah 9 to talk about the darkness of the day. This is the darkness that appeared in Israel before Jesus' life on earth. It's a darkness that finds enemies and sees itself better than. It's a darkness that uses might rather than compassion. It's normally about lies and not about truth. It's about accusation and blaming, to cast our sins on others. It's a way of avoiding the truth about ourselves, that God loves our humanity. I was baptized here a long time ago. I was baptized here so long ago that the baptism font was over there, not back there. But as a little kid, I was like 9, I used to love to come into the church when nobody else was here, and I still do. And I noticed that there were 3 doors to get in here. Did you notice that? The first door is the outside door. And it used to be the second door was wooden, and you sat in this little cubicle. And I used to think to myself, I got a choice here. I don't have to go in through that next door. And I stayed in that little second area there, that little cubicle, and then said, this is a choice, I'm going in. And I did. Same 3 doors, except now the second door you can see through, so you get an idea of where you're going. And there is that baptism font. The baptism font represents our baptism. It's an invitation to a new life. It is not an invitation to be right, to be superior, to be all-knowing. It's an invitation to suffer. It's an invitation to Christ's passion. It's an invitation to seeing Christ in all people. It's an invitation to seek God's face in your neighbor. I love being here. I love being in church. Every time I look over there and I see that window, that beautiful stained glass window, and if you can't see it, it's a breaking wave with the sun behind it. Before I was baptized, that became my image of baptism. I'd go down to the beach, I lived right down the street here, and I'd go out into the water and a wave would break over my head with the sun to my going setting down, and I could see this halo around my head. And I felt that's what baptism is. And when I finally was baptized, it wasn't quite like that. But metaphorically speaking, in my own 9-year-old mind, it was an enter into a new life after which I would never be the same. It was an invitation to no longer see anyone as my enemy, deserving of punishment, pain, or suffering. At Jesus' baptism, he heard the voice say, "This is my beloved Son." From that point on, Jesus went out into the wilderness, and his definition of what it meant to be the Son of God was tested. He went into the wilderness, and the questions asked were, what kind of a son will you be? Are you going to do miracles like change that rock into bread? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God, the direction of God. Satan offered him all the world. Took him on top of the temple and said, jump down, because it's written that the angels will come and they'll catch you. What grandiosity. Jesus was baptized as the Son of God. That was good enough. What was to come in his life after 40 days of suffering hunger was a preparation for a life where he would love, where he would serve, where he would heal, where he would call simple fishermen to follow him. And that one invitation, as they were saying in the adult class, is that all it took? Well, let me tell you something. I'm here because my mom heard Father Parker say a prayer at a PTA meeting and wanted to know, who is that minister? I want to go to his church. Father Parker never said, follow me. He said a prayer, and there was something in him that connected with something my mom knew we needed as a family. And the next Sunday I was here. And every Sunday I come here, I learn to see the face of God and each one of you. We all have our struggles, we all have our temptations, we all have our irritations. But when I come here, the psalmist says, seek my face. Your face I will seek, O Lord. And week after week, I see you. And in seeing you, I see God. And at the end of the day, when I walk from this place and I say goodbye to all of you, I will have left and you will have made an imprint on me. I will have taken the body and blood of Christ into myself, but you are the body and blood of Christ. And I always pray that when we leave this place, we will not fall into the same sin that destroyed another temple long, long ago. Hatred, rivalry that's destructive and sees other people as less than God's gift to us. Increase our capacity for God as we look in the faces of our brothers and sisters. Amen.